Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest. We talked about him being a Hall of Fame NBA broadcaster. Now one of the new inductees for 2010 into the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame the other night in Novi, George Blaha, the voice of the Detroit Pistons and MSU football. Hello, George.
Hey, Jack. Hi, Tom. How you guys doing?
Fantastic today.
Congratulations. George.
Well, thank you. It's a nice honor when you, especially if you're from the state of Michigan and you've spent your entire career here and you plan to spend the rest of your time here, it doesn't get any better than this.
George, you are a Notre Dame graduate. You've been around Michigan State forever. You understand the way Notre Dame football works. Tell us why Brian Kelly might be a good fit and why it didn't work with Charlie Weiss.
Well, he's a college football coach, and he's a teacher, they tell me, and it certainly has, you know, played out that way at Grand Valley State in Central Michigan and Cincinnati. You know, these guys come to you as boys and end up as men, and, you know, in many ways, they know how to play, but the fine points of playing this game usually are refined at the college level. There's a lot of coaching that goes on. You can't just draw up plays, and I think that probably sums it up.
George, what's the downside of Brian Kelly? I mean, what's the negative side of him when you think of Brian Kelly? And this is just, you know, listening to the radio and watching TV, and I mean, there seems to be some downside. You know, the fact, there's a risk. There's a risk in hiring this guy. What is that risk, and is he going to hit it out of the park for Notre Dame? Do you think?
Well, I don't know if there is any risk. I think he was probably, when you search the coaching landscape of all the guys who you'd like to hire, how many of them were available and how many of them wanted to coach at Notre Dame, you might have ended up with, frankly, they said they had double-digit candidates. And if you're really going to take a good hard look, maybe there were. But in reality, there probably were three or four. And I think this guy, on paper anyway, based upon his record and his background, was far and away the strongest candidate.
Was it negative because he had moved around in a short period from multiple spots? Was that it?
You're the one who's saying it was negative, Tom. I don't know anything about.
Well, I mean,
negative.
No.
But you could say that if you want to. But you know, I don't think there's any reason to get into that game.
I think that when you
what are your thoughts on that, Jack? I mean,
I think he's had a great career, and I think that he's been spent a long time at Grand Valley. Did an unbelievable job there. I thought he went to Central Michigan. We expect a guy to stay in the same place forever. He gets a chance to move up, he's going to move up. And everyone would love to coach at Notre Dame. I certainly think he's done a great job. And for whatever reason, Michigan wasn't interested in him. There was
Michigan
a story.
State was Michigan,
Michigan
State?
Michigan State, could have hired him at some point. But a story in the State Journal today is if they had hired him, what would have happened? You can go back and play that game forever. We were talking to Henry Bulla this week, and he said he was there when Notre Dame offered Duffy Doherty the job. Actually, that happened twice, and it took a phone call from John Hanna to keep Duffy Doherty at Michigan State. And you wonder, George, sometimes you can go back and play the what-if game, but if Duffy Doherty had gone to Notre Dame, Michigan State might have hired Aaron Parseghian. I mean, everything could have turned around.
Sure, and, you know, coaches do accept better jobs, and universities have every right to hire who they want to hire.
Right.
And I think Mark D'Antonio was the guy that Michigan State, once they talked to everybody, I think it was, my understanding, it was down to Mark D'Antonio and Charlie Baggett here. And I think, you know, Mark had that solid head coaching experience at Cincinnati. Heck, he built the program at Cincinnati that Brian Kelly eventually had great success with, but without Mark D'Antonio's building blocks at Cincinnati, Brian Kelly wouldn't have had that success.
Yeah, I think there was one more name in there that really got some serious attention. That was Bo Pelini. But you're right. I think that the decision made, and Tom Izzo had some input in this too, was that Mark D'Antonio was the best fit for Michigan State. And I think that Michigan State is not an automatic win situation. You have to have the right guy.
Well, it should be. They have everything going for them. There's no excuse for Michigan State not to have.
Well, there are a lot of teams that are competitive, Tom, that are you could say that about. You could say the same thing about Illinois or anyone else. I don't think you can say that Michigan State is like Michigan or Ohio State.
And Alan Pinkett would agree with me as far as the caliber of talent.
Alan Pinkett doesn't know Michigan State, first of all. But when you talk about Michigan State being on a level where you should walk in and automatically win nine games, you know, that's what happens in Ann Arbor. And when a coach wins eight games his first 2 years combined, people ask questions. If Michigan State coaches come in and they start off winning seven games and then nine games his first couple years, you know, you can see a lot of progress. Our guest, George Blaha, the voice of Michigan State football, since, what was it, 1970 or 71, George?
1971. In fact, my second or third road game, Eric Allen ran for 350 yards at Purdue.
Oh, I remember that game. Yeah.
What a game that was.
43-10, Michigan State.
Absolutely. Tom remembers all those scores of the big Michigan State wins because they give him nightmares even to this day. George, when you look at this Michigan State running game, and we really haven't had to see much from the passing game, what stands out to you about the depth in this backfield?
Well, clearly, this is the best trio in this conference, and we'll see how it plays out over the next few weeks. But frankly, it could be one of the best trios in America. But you could have a lot of teams have two very good backs. It appears Alabama, for instance, has two great backs. But
right. But
a lot of teams have two very good backs, or at least. Maybe half of the teams around have two very good backs, but when you have three, and you can keep them fresh, I mean, this would be a dream come true for George Perlis, who was extremely good at the hot back theory, and even when he had great backs, played the other guy occasionally. So this is a wonderful situation, in my opinion, for a team that likes to run the ball. I'd hate to be caught as one of these running backs in a system where they wanted to pass the ball more than run the ball. But this is at least a 50-50 balance here at Michigan State. So I think it's a great situation, not only for the running backs, but for the program.
You know, George, Kirk Cousins, going into the season, I had him picked as my MVP in the Big Ten, Offensive Player of the Year, and that still could happen. A little disappointed with his precision, but I'm thinking he's going to ramp things up tonight. This could really be when Michigan State could showcase their balance offensively and defensively.
Yeah, they're going to have to – I think both teams know that they're going to have to bring their A game. If one of these teams, for some reason, doesn't bring its A game, they're not going to win this game, and it might not even be as close as they'd like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think they both will. I really do. I think – you know, when you're early in a regime like Notre Dame is with Brian Kelly, everything the guy says you're taking to heart. And you believe me, he's got them jacked up if he can, because this is a very important bounce back game for Notre Dame Field. Maybe they should have won last week. And as far as Michigan State's concerned, this is the first chance to play a name team, and they get a lot of exposure. They know that Notre Dame has talent, and they know they're going to be juiced. So the Spartans know they have to bring their A game. So I think you're going to have two highly motivated teams tonight and two pretty darn talented teams as well.
We're talking with George Blaha, the play-by-play voice of Michigan State football for four decades and a 2010 inductee in the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame. George, when you look at this series, Michigan State winning six in a row in Notre Dame Stadium before last year, no one's ever done better than that, and Notre Dame winning in Spartan Stadium in 2002, 2004, 2006, tough places to play. Why have the road teams done so well?
Well, you got to keep your cool, and I guess you got to take your hat off to the guys who are able to block out the crowd, because I think the toughest place to play that where that the toughest stadium to play in where I have broadcast is Michigan State at night. I think, and I know there's probably LSU at night where I haven't been and some places like that, but I think up here at night is going to be very, very difficult. Notre Dame will really have to block out a lot to get something done. You know, I think the monsoon in 06 clearly helped Notre Dame get back in the game, and who knows, maybe a questionable decision, a questionable call. But just to be able to keep your cool on the road and win is very important. And I also think, for whatever reason, sometimes being Notre Dame and playing in that stadium where you're supposed to win puts a little extra pressure on the home team. I don't believe Michigan State feels that way, but I think at times at home Notre Dame does.
But you know, George, a lot of those games you were referring to, Jack, were close games. I mean, the overtime. I remember the overtime game and the monsoon game. They've all been down to the wire. It's almost like they're pretty evenly matched. Doesn't really matter where they're playing.
Right. I personally think that these two teams are evenly matched tonight. It'd be hard to pick a favorite, but you know, you got to like the Spartans because they are playing at home. I think they have more veterans in key spots than Notre Dame does. Notre Dame's got a thinner defense than the Spartans, and they got an injury or two. And Michigan State, if they get a lift from Larry Caper like they have from Le'Veon Bell and Edwin Baker in the first two games in their running game, they're going to be difficult to deal with. And when that running game gets smoking, then I think, Tom, you're going to see Kirk Cousins at his best. He's a very good play-action quarterback. I mean, and he can take it downfield, and he has the weapons to take it downfield.
George, you know what emotion can mean in college football. And you saw it last week at Michigan, a couple weeks ago at Michigan, Tom, with Brock Mueller and that before the game. But we saw it at Michigan State when Amp Campbell came back tonight, Josh Rouse making a return, not quite in the same physical state that Amp was. But I'll never forget that game, George. Michigan State coming off an 0-2 start and nursing a lot of injuries coming back from Oregon, and they led Notre Dame 42-3 at halftime.
Now, that was quite a show. That was as beat up as I've ever seen a Notre Dame team. That looked like their coaching staff was absolutely stunned. And you know, all the great athletes made plays. Julian Peterson, before the night was over, had himself a pick six, I believe. But you're right, Amp, and what a wonderful guy he is, and I'm so happy for him that he's coaching now at Western. But when you have a guy who has the respect and love of his teammates make it back out there to try and fire up his team, he usually does.
A guy who has a lot of respect around the state of Michigan, our guest, George Blaha, the voice of Michigan State football and the Detroit Pistons. George, congratulations again on the Hall of Fame induction.
All right, thanks, fellas. Good being on with you.
We'll see you tonight. We'll be right back with Michael Rothstein of AnnArbor.com. We're going to talk about Denard Robinson and the 2-0 Michigan Wolverines up next on the Jack and Tom Show.